Good day and welcome to Sarah and T, the Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast, coming to you from the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
And from the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. I'm Sarah Bradford from Winter Park and Steamboat Springs.
And I'm Tim Cafferty from the Outer Banks of North Carolina and Sandbridge in Virginia. Together, we bring you the first podcast focused solely on professionally managed vacation rentals, both domestic and abroad.
In the next 30 minutes, we hope you will join us on our journey as we dive into issues affecting folks like us, the professional vacation rental manager, allowing you to run your business more effectively, make more money, and most importantly, have fun doing it.
We're back, and we're better than ever. I'm Tim.
And I'm Sarah, as they say in the South.
You're not in the South, though, lady. Look at you strange in Steamboat with that.
That's true. But we are going to talk about not a strange topic, and that is, what is it, Tim? This is exciting. I'm pumped about this one.
Well, it makes sense because we have talked about competitors being more aggressive on trying to get owners away from you. And we've also talked about national firms who are being hyper-aggressive in selling their product to you. And so owners are constantly bombarded with opportunities to leave you. And so this episode is about 10 reasons why an owner will leave you if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, and this was a hard episode to put together because, of course, Tim, no owner has ever left you or me.
This is all speculative, of course. We've heard tale of these things. Oh, no.
Now, we're just trying to imagine why an owner would ever leave another company. No, just kidding. We've all had an owner leave us, and let's learn from it, and let's talk about how you can avoid these reasons so that you don't lose owners you want to keep.
Early in our podcasting life, we talked about holding the mirror up. I remember that several times. And what we mean by that is it's not always pretty to do some introspection. And that's what this is all about. We do need to hold the mirror up and see what we are doing possibly to alienate our most valued resource, and that's our owners. Because without owners, you don't have guests. And so we have a list. We've come up with 10, unless we think of more before the show is over. And in no particular order, we have them listed, some kind of grouped together. But I think number one is one that everybody can identify with, and that is another company approached your owner leading with a low percentage rate.
Oh, just the phone call. Can't you hear it?
Yeah.
Hey, Sarah, I just got a postcard, and it says they can do it for 5%.
I'll bet they can.
So this one is happening pretty often right now. One way to avoid it is to be openly talking to your owners about those offers, and that's however you feel comfortable doing that. But this really gets to value, Tim, and you got to be ready to explain why you're worth what you're worth and compare yourself to that said company and not sound defensive. So I think you got to work on your points of conversation before the conversation happens.
Absolutely. You know, I think we could easily morph this episode into an episode about communication with your owners. And that's what this really comes down to. Are you telling your owners the value that they are getting at the percentage rate that you may be charging? Because I've really never found a vacation rental company that feels like they're charging more than they should. Most are always saying, I am barely making it with what I'm charging. And so owners need to understand that as well. It is so easy for a company to come into a marketplace. There are very low barriers to entry into the vacation rental business. Many states don't have a licensure issue or even any kind of education issue to get into the business. And so they open a shingle, they put it out there, and they say, we'll do it for, like you say, 5%. And an owner may not know. Oh, man, that's a great deal. Let's do that, dear. They'll find out.
Yeah, they take it for face value, right? They say, oh, that one's 5% and this one's this percent. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's apples to apples. Let's go with the 5%. Just like if you found the same peanut butter is a dollar here and the same exact jar is $3 over here, you're going to buy it for a dollar. But you have to explain how you're not a commodity, it's not the same thing, and how the percentage that company's leading with is most likely not really what they're going to charge in the long run.
I'm writing it down. Don't buy $1 peanut butter. Very good. Thank you for that tip. Our first pullover moment here in the episode today. But it's a big one. Absolutely, all of us face it, and we have to have that, for lack of a better word, 30 second elevator speech, but we also have to make sure we are continually telling our owners how we are earning our commission.
Your goal in life should be that when they get the postcard that says they can do it for 5%, that owner doesn't even think about it. They throw it in the trash and they say, I would never switch. I have that good of a relationship with my vacation rental company. So that's the goal. Let's go to number two, Tim, on the list of reasons we hear that owners might leave vacation rental companies. And that is, it's the big one we all fear. It's the rental revenue phone call, right? It's the, hey, you made me half of what you made me last year, or the rates seem low, or you did so many two-night stays that you killed my summer. The rental revenue reason is given, but Tim and I have found that it's not always a valid complaint. Tell us about that, Tim.
Rental revenue certainly tied to why people will leave, but for instance, I was talking to an owner who was referred to me by a trusted source, we'll say. And as I was looking at the gentleman's property and sort of analyzing why they may be leaving, I saw that there were two prime weeks in the summer still open on that property. And it occurred to me, I wonder if that owner has bought into the reasons why those 2 weeks are still open. I would venture to say no. And so I'm certainly not going to call the other company and say, hey, you probably ought to talk to owner so-and-so and let them know why these 2 weeks are open. Because, of course, what am I going to say? Oh, we have tremendous occupancy that week. I don't know why you're empty that week, sir. But the point being that you need to make sure you're communicating with owners if there is a gap. Say you miss a prime week or a weekend. There may be a reason why, and you want to make sure that owner is on board with that reason and not going, they're just making excuses down there at Winter Park Lodging Company.
I think if you do see you're truly off on revenue for a property, reach out to the owner, even though it is so scary to do so because you don't want to bring it up. Be proactive. Way better for you to do that than they have to call you and say, I notice we're not making as much. And you say, yeah, I noticed, right? That whole proactive thing matters. But also, Tim, you've mentioned to me before, and this happened to us as well, that an owner thinks they're not doing well, and you go and look at their reports, and you're like, but you're up 10,000. Like, they don't always know how they're doing.
Well, they have a vision of what they're doing, and I can see you shaking your heads in your cars as you're listening to the podcast right now, where they've called and they said, I'm behind where I was this time last year. What's going on? And then you look up the data and you go, well, actually, no, you're not behind, Mr. Owner. You're 10,000 ahead or what have you. But they don't want to be confused with the facts. They just feel like they're behind somehow. And so shame on us for not communicating properly once again.
One last thing on this is when they call and say that, don't automatically agree with them
right.
Until you look at the data. This is another reason to be looking at your data a lot. And I have in my brain, I can store approximately 30 properties maybe at a time. But I kind of know because we look at this so much if someone's doing well or not. So if I get the phone call and it doesn't match up with what my brain says, I'm like, hold up, that's not what we saw. So I want to look at that. Or you might look and go, okay, yeah, you're not doing as well because you used Christmas, for us, this is a big deal, Christmas, all of March and all of July this year, and you didn't use that last year, right? Like, you have to remind them of their usage as well if that's going to affect revenue.
Absolutely. I'm writing down my second pullover point. Sarah's brain stores 30 properties at a time. Okay, good. That's great. We're going to move on to number three now. Oh, gosh, this one gets under my skin. I had an owner say this to me about a month ago, and I remember replying to the owner, Mr. Owner, I know you're trying to punch my buttons right now, but I'm going to keep this professional because he said, Tim, you're just getting too big. You don't care about us anymore. Oh, gosh, doesn't that drive you crazy?
Yeah, if there's any of our owners listening right now, if you want to really upset me, call me and tell me that we feel too big. It's like punching me. It's punching Al, my GM. It's punching us all in the face. That is the thing we try not to feel like is too big. So, Tim, what is the reason, though, an owner could feel you're getting too big?
Well, something obviously happened that they feel like you did not give them proper attention, right? You just mentioned to me not long ago, you had a snowfall, I think in May, and you went out and took pictures of some of the houses with snow and texted them to your owners. Gosh, that's that personal connection that they all long for, isn't it? I'm a runner. I ran by this house every day. This owner called me and said something to the effect, I haven't heard from you in ages. And I'm like, well, I go by your house every day. But he didn't know that. So again, shame on me. The communication thing is our theme. But that personal relationship has kind of faded. I think that's what you're getting at, right?
So Tim, we've talked about this before. What you give in slices comes back in loaves. Invest in the owners. That's the fun part. Don't even be fake about it, right? Just get to know these people. The owners that I've had dinner with or spent an hour or two with, and I've met them in person and we've chatted, and then I remember things about them. I check in with them once in a while. I ask how they're doing. It's really hard to leave us. I have to admit, there are a few owners I've never met in person. I'm ashamed and I'm working on it. But if you out there have owners you have not met in person, I challenge you to meet them, because that's what the big mega managers cannot accomplish. That is what Matt Landau's talking about when he talks about be the boutique, be the relationship builder. So meet those folks in person. Tim, I'm sure you have met every single one of your owners and you make dinner for them, what, once a week or something?
Yeah, that happens all the time. No, you know what comes to mind? This is the third episode I can remember that we have dived into this pretty heavy, the Ford method. F-O-R-D. Family, occupation, recreation, dreams. If you know those things, they're gold. So I will admit, I think we've talked about this before. This year, we divided up our owner list, and we're contacting our owners every quarter to make sure we have the Ford down. And so that personal connection is made. I don't know all my owners. I pretend pretty well, just a lot like all of us if I ever come in the office. But the fact is, they do want that personal connection. And so that number three, you're getting too big. Oh, it's like that knife in the back, and you want to do everything you can to make sure they don't say it.
One other tip here is to each week challenge yourself to look at who's coming, which owners are coming, and pick one and text them and just say, or email, whatever, and say, hey, would you mind if I just stop by to put a face with a name? I did that recently for an owner we've had for 2 years, and everything changed now that I've met him.
How about that?
It really does make a difference. So
it changed, meaning he doesn't like you at all now, right?
Yeah, he went ahead and left us because he met me.
Never. Okay, let's move on. Number four, I think, is next.
Number four is the reasons why owners will leave you is, the dreaded phone call of all phone calls. You ready, Tim?
Oh, gosh.
Hi, Tim. I just got to my house and I'm not happy. I need you to call me. Number four is when they continually find things wrong with their property when they show up.
The house is dirty. Again, why does it happen to certain owners too? You know, you'd think it's certainly not going to happen with, you know, Dr. Oh, yes, it's Dr. again on the phone. Oh, my God. What are we doing here?
Yeah, it is Murphy's Law, and we've done all sorts of things to avoid this. Even we call it hot buttons, and we have certain owners' hot buttons, and the inspector knows to look at those specific hot buttons. Like, if there's trash under the bed again, you guys, we're going to lose this house. So get on all fours and look under there. But it does seem to happen to the same owners. So you have to figure out your owner inspection process to a T.
Sometimes it's a personality fit. Sometimes it's just looking at a couple of specific issues that that owner dwells on. We're not saying your cleaners are awful, but boy, you really don't want to get that call where the owner is finding the same problems over and over and over. That's certainly one of the 10 reasons why an owner will leave you. So that leads us to number five. And this goes very closely along with number four, and that is you didn't apologize for a problem that took place. Maybe you overcharged an owner or mischarged a bill, or maybe there was an issue that there was a disagreement of some sort. You didn't just say, I'm sorry. That's really big. I've shared this before, and I'll share it again. At one of the VRMA conferences years and years ago, there was a lady who specialized in telephone training, and she talked about this whole service recovery thing, and she called it the A train. It's three A's. You agree, you apologize, and you act. Remember her saying, the most important thing is number two. You have to apologize. Even if you're not truly sorry, say that you're sorry. That's what people want to hear.
This is very hard for some people. It doesn't mean they're bad people that they can't say I'm sorry, but certain people have trouble with this more than others. Some people have trouble like I do. I say it too much. Like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I feel like I say I'm sorry before I even run into somebody walking down the street. So whatever it is, say the words, I'm sorry. I've noticed that if I call an owner, they arrive, the place wasn't perfect. Instead of saying, well, you came early, or, well, we didn't have enough time to clean, well, our inspector didn't come in, well, that's not something we normally do, and get all defensive. Oh, that does not go well. Number five, apologizing can change it all. If I just say, you know what, I'm really sorry about that. It's not okay that happened. And I apologize. And I'm going to work on making it right and making it not happen again. They can't really say anything else. I think we've discussed this. It's like the greatest thing to ever say. And I am sorry. I am sorry they're upset with our company. So be sure to say it, because it's not like an owner's going to call and say, I'm leaving because you didn't say you were sorry. But that is the little nag at them that they feel like they weren't heard.
Even if you want to draw that line in the sand and say that you are not wrong, it doesn't mean that you can't say that they are right. I use the example of the air conditioning that goes out in a property, dealing with guests here, obviously not an owner. I agree, Ms. Guest, it should not be 100 degrees on the top level of your house, and I apologize for that. And so with an owner, I agree, Ms. Owner, we could have handled that situation better, and I apologize that that happened. That's what they want to hear. They want to hear that they've been heard, you understand what they're saying, and that they are made to feel valued.
Absolutely. Okay. So after you say you're sorry, another reason they might leave you is number six. And I've seen this a lot lately. We have owners that fixate, and it's really the word fixate, on an issue they had with us at one point, whether it was an employee that said, no, this is, I'm drawing a line in the sand, we're not doing that for you, or an issue where they had to call three times to get something done, or we screwed up their carpet, or I don't know what, but they fixate on it. And I'm like 3 years later on owner surveys, they're still writing it on their owner survey, even though we thought that was way in the past.
The picture I told you to take that you haven't taken yet, the marketing manager who did not hear me and did not act on my terrific ideas that I gave you about how to run your business, those kinds of things, they're ticklish. Just hit them head on and see what you can do to, again, maybe back to the last one, apologize that wasn't handled the way you want, and then see if you can move forward, because that is a tough one.
Yeah, I think you really need to almost call them up and say, hey, I see that you're still upset about the carpet from 5 years ago. Do you want to talk it out? Mm-hmm. Is there any way we can get past that? Like, let them know. Some of them don't realize, I think, they are fixating. It's just like the one negative thing they can say about you, so they right. keep saying it.
That leads us to number seven, and this one's a good one in terms of reason for you to communicate with your owners. I think you all know I'm a big believer in newsletters. Sarah does one to her property owners as well. We've obviously told you we communicate with owners on other ways, but you need to let them know what you are doing to stay on the cutting edge of this industry. Maybe there's some technology that you're putting in play. Maybe there's some policy that you have that is cutting edge. Make sure your owners know, gosh, these guys are on it, and they're working hard for me, and I'm proud to be associated with them because of that, amongst other things, of course. But can you believe they're doing this? I think this is a great one.
This goes back to number one, that another company is sending them mailers telling about low percentage. Those other companies are also telling them that they do things that you do. Like, I've had an owner call and say, well, this other company, they do inspections after every clean, and they're also doing virtual tours, and they're doing floor plans, and they're doing AdWords on Google. And it's like, so am I. wait, I'm doing all of that, right? Yeah. That is not a big deal. But if you don't talk about it, they're not in our industry. The owners don't realize you're doing it. They might not see it, and they see all those bells and whistles from the other company and think, I got to jump ship and go with them.
I think of software that I changed to recently. I was the first one to change to this software here, and now there are eight other companies that have this software. You dang well better believe I told those owners I was out in front on that, because if I don't tell them, nobody else is going to say, oh, you know, he was the first one out there. You know, he was the innovator. Yeah. He was the one out there thinking ahead of everybody else. I'm known for that, but it doesn't mean that owners immediately assume that I'm on top of everything. So this is a big one for you. Number 7, got to tell them what you're doing, folks.
It's not bragging. It's just keeping them informed of what a good choice they made. Number 8 on the reasons owners leave us is you took too long to respond to them. So Tim, curious on your take on this. We get a lot of owners writing in by email, and my team have 2 days off a week. Sometimes those days are Wednesday, Thursday, for example, and they might write on a Tuesday night. If they don't hear back until Friday, they feel really unheard. And also sometimes they write in with a really complicated question or problem, and it's gonna take a little bit to get the answer. I want my crew to be responding right away saying, got your message. Thanks for bringing that up. It's going to take me a few days to dig into that. I'll get back to you. Versus crickets and the owners seething over there because we haven't responded. What do you think? What do you get your staff to do when an owner writes in?
Well, the only thing you didn't say there, I think, that would help with that is making sure they're using autoresponders when they're out of office. That would curtail some of the issue. If an owner got an email back immediately saying that Tim is out of the office on Thursdays and Fridays, I'm glad to get back to you on Saturday or what have you. In the meantime, if you need immediate attention, please contact so-and-so. That is our standard. But many times those emails are to one person, they're copied to somebody else. And so that's an awareness your staff has to have. Again, an example here, just today, as a matter of fact, I had a property owner reach out to my housekeeping manager. She is off today and tomorrow, and it could have waited till she got back, but I'm thinking to myself, I know this owner. He wants a response right now, so that's probably why he copied me, by the way, because he knows I respond right away. And so I jumped in and said, Tracy is off today and tomorrow, but let me just jump in the meantime. I believe the answer to your question is such and such. And within 10 minutes, the issue was solved, as opposed to if we had waited till she got back, it may have festered, and it could have been one of those other reasons we talked about, a reason for that owner to leave. So I think you need teamwork, and you also need that communication. Those autoresponders are critical on this kind of thing.
Another thing, Tim, that got back to number 3, don't make them feel you're too big. Mm-hmm. By you responding, he's like, oh, Tim's involved in the business. They're not too big.
All right, so that leads us to number 9, Sarah. We have hit all around on this, but we haven't driven the stake in the heart. And number 9 is the owner did not feel heard. They could have had cleaning complaints that weren't dealt with. They didn't get an answer to why was I charged for such and such. They may have had an antique soap dish that was given to them by their favorite aunt, and they asked about its whereabouts, and they never heard back. Whatever it is, they asked you about the new picture, and you didn't get that done. You have to give great service and make sure they feel heard.
It is hard when you get the suggestions, Tim, that you know you don't want to do, but you do have to take the time to call them, hear them out, explain to them maybe why you will or won't be doing that right away, but not being defensive. Listening to an owner, it's like anything in life, any customer, you need to listen to them. Think about that. And have you heard your owners? Have you really heard them about what they say?
Well, and let's be very frank. Many of our owners are very, very, very successful business people. And they do have good ideas. Maybe it doesn't translate exactly the way it should in our business, but if they've given you advice and you haven't listened to it, it's kind of another take on this, didn't hear me, you need to get back to them and let them know why maybe we're not going to take the suggestion. So again, make sure they're heard though.
It's not a sign of weakness to take a suggestion from an owner. I've had owners mention something that I think, well, that's a good idea. Thank you. It doesn't mean that you're a bad business owner because you didn't think of it. In fact, they feel great that they contributed to what you did. So make sure you hear them. Okay, going to number 10, this sums it all up. If you just take one thing away besides make sure you say you're sorry. That's a big one. But number 10 is, I left you because you didn't make me feel special. Now, I don't think any owners really say this. I think they use something else as the reason. But when they get the postcard in the mail and it says, I'll do it for 5%, they go, yeah, because my current company is making me not feel like they care about me. So you have to make these owners feel special. And again, this isn't fake. This doesn't mean you have to be gushy mushy with them and make them feel all this special way, as a lot of men, no offense, feel odd doing that. But this is to make perfect example of this is an owner called the other day and said, "Hi, I'm and I own." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Hey, Mrs. You never have to say what property you own. Mm. I know you, and you don't have to list it." It drives me crazy when they feel like they have to say the property they own. That's back to feeling too big, right? Mm-hmm. I need to feel like, "Hey, how are you? I know you." Because when they get the postcard in the mail, that person doesn't know them. They don't want to start all over and have that personal relationship. What do you think, Tim?
I think we could have done the whole podcast on number 10. That is it. People, they want to feel special. They chose you at the beginning of the relationship because you gave them a twinkle in their eye, and you need to make sure that you can still see that twinkle when you're talking to them somehow, some way. And it's a culture thing. It's not one thing you can do. It's not the Christmas gift that Sarah goes over the top about, or my owner's party where we open up the keg and serve oysters or whatever to make people feel special. It is every contact with every person. And that's the thing that I pride myself on the most, that when I see those surveys come back and people say, "Everyone in your company is great." That's what makes people feel special.
We just did our owner survey, and some of those comments I want to put on the wall, like, "You make my life so much easier." "I feel like you attend to every detail." Like this one owner wrote, "We're a pain in the you know what, and you guys deal with us even with all of our complaining." You know, like they feel like we know them. And if you want to keep the owners you have, listen to these 10 reasons. We'd love to hear your reasons, but this is how you're going to maintain your business. I think we can get a little eye off the ball, Tim, when we're growing. It's just trying to get the next property and the next property. Don't forget the ones you have, and make sure you are holding their hands too.
And that leads us to one thing that's not on the 10 reasons why an owner will leave you, but it is part and parcel to this, and that is, when an owner does leave you, what do? Do you sit there and throw stuff in your office and blame your X department, or do you do what you do, Sarah, and that's find out why?
Oh, this is a tough one, because it just feels so painful when they leave, if they truly are leaving because they're not selling or something like that. I encourage you all to do exit interviews, and a lot of owners don't want to do this because they already felt awkward calling you, telling you they're leaving. But if you call them and maybe leave a voicemail and say, "Hey, I'm not mad. It's okay. I understand you're leaving. This is not about begging you back. I just would really appreciate some feedback so we don't make these mistakes again. Would you just share them with me for 5 minutes or so?" And you got to learn from your mistakes.
I agree. And you never know what happens after the fact. I had a story that I shared with you earlier where we lost a prime property, and I finally reached out. I did give it some time, but I reached out. I knew they had signed an agreement with a competing company, so I didn't want to take advantage of any agency relationship was in place there, but I just simply reached out and said, "Can you tell me how we can improve? How could I have not lost your business?" And it was so simple. In his mind, we lost a ceiling fan that he had purchased and he had had delivered to our office. Now, our staff thought we had taken it to the house and put it in the garage, and it was the electrician who had lost it. But in the owner's mind, all he knew is we got it, and then it became lost. And so he lost trust in us. And so I just left the door open and said, "I am sorry. I apologize. You're right. It shouldn't have happened. And if you ever come back, I'll make sure that doesn't happen again." Use the A train, in other words. And sure enough, the next year, he called me and said, "Will you take me back?" And he's still with us now.
But what did he say? Take me back with one stipulation.
As long as you take care of me. And I've taken care of him ever since. And it's not been a big job. He's easy as it can be. I talk to him maybe 2 or 3 times a year, and we pick up right where we left off. He's a very busy guy. He just wants to know the job's done. He has a beautiful house. He wants to make sure it's cared for, and we have not lost a ceiling fan since.
Yeah, so make sure you do the exit interview. Tim, that just made me think of a number 11 reason I can't not share. Transparency and honesty. Don't ever lie to your owners, and don't cover up mistakes and be dishonest in any way, and be transparent with them. If they catch you in some sort of cover-up lie, you've lost their trust. That I can't believe I didn't put that as one of the 10.
Boy, that's good. that leads us to not so hot off the press, but definitely happening. And I'm going to put a twist on this since we are in the height of summer and it's hot all over the place. I am going to call this, it is hot off the press, because it's hot at these two conferences that I want to call your attention to. There are a couple of conferences coming up in August. One is in Austin and one is in Atlanta, which there are two places I can't think of that are much hotter than in August, but they are worthy of your consideration. And I'm not sure if you're going to either of these, Sarah, but our good friend Amy Highnote from VRM Intel is having a data revenue management conference in Atlanta on August 6th and 7th. I think this is the first one of these I've ever heard of anyway. How about you?
This one I would really like to go to. Also because I think they have air conditioning, right?
They do.
You're going to be good in these places. But the first revenue management type conference in our industry that I know of.
Be good. And you can get more details at VRDARM.com. That's VRDARM.com for that conference. And then there's another one that is very timely and very important, and that is about regulations. There's a conference on short-term rental regulations that will take place on Friday, August 16th in Austin, Texas, and it's headed up by our good friend Matt Curtis, who used to be with HomeAway and went off on his own and started the Smart City Policy Group, and he has this conference going on, and you can find out more information on that at smartcitypolicysummit.com. And that'll be a great event. Austin's a great place. You just heard a couple of episodes ago from our friend Sharon Walker, who's there and told us how great business is and gives you a good opportunity to see things happening on the front line of the rental regulation business, because Texas is in a hand-to-hand combat on this stuff right now.
Yeah, I bet she'll be at that conference too, since there's so much happening, even just in Austin. So check out those conferences and see if you can break away from your summer plans and learn a little thing or two.
Okay, so now to summarize our 10, and now I told you it might happen that we would add additional one. We're going to call it 11 reasons now why an owner will leave you. Number one, another company led with a low percentage rate. You better get your elevator speech down and make sure your owners know why you are good value.
Number two, rental revenue. Be sure you know at least 30 in your head like I do. But also, explain to your owners why the rental revenue may be down and be sure you're communicating to them when it's up.
Number three is the thing no rental manager wants to hear, and that is you're getting too big. I don't know who you are anymore. Don't have them say that to you. Make sure they know who you are and start those personal relationships.
The dreaded phone call, continually finding their property in poor condition. Work on that owner inspection process and their hot buttons.
Number five, you didn't apologize. This sounds like an argument between couples now that we're going on along this list. Yeah. You didn't say you were sorry. So say you're sorry.
Number six is also a couple's problem. You're fixating on something I did years ago. But if you have owners that are fixating on an issue, hit it head on and see if you can get past it.
Number seven is that you are not telling them what you are doing to stay on the cutting edge and being a leader in the vacation rental management industry. Make sure if you're doing something really techie that sounds cool and is cool, that your owners know about it so they can tell others about how great you are.
Number eight, you took forever to get back to me about that little bug I found under the couch. So it might be a little thing, but if you take too long to respond, they get upset. Figure out how to use autoresponders like Tim and I do, and at least tell them you're going to deal with the issue, even if it's going to take you a few days to get to the bottom of it.
Number nine, you didn't hear me. A lot of our owners are really smart people. They have good ideas. Even if they do fixate on things like the gondola picture out of the back bedroom that I needed to see, you didn't hear me when I asked you about that. Make sure you hear what they're saying and give them a good response so they can move on.
And number 10 is almost as important as the new and number 11, but you didn't make me feel special. I just felt like a number. You didn't care when I called. I always had to tell you which property I owned, and I talked to someone different every time I called. Make those owners feel special, and they will never leave you.
And the last one that came out of left field from Sarah at the last minute, transparency. Boy, there is very few things that make me more embarrassed to tell an owner something only to find out later that I told them an untruth because somebody was covering up something. Be honest. Don't lie. We screwed up, Mr. Owner, and I apologize for it. You need to be transparent, and I think they'll forgive you for it.
Amen, brother. All right, those are your 11 things to think about this week, guys, and make sure you're doing things that prevent an owner from calling with these reasons for leaving your program. But if they do, make sure you do an exit interview.
Okay, I'm excited. Do you know what the next episode is going to be? What number it is in the history of our episode, Sarah?
What number?
It is going to be episode number 50. The big 5-0 we are reaching as Sarah and T. And so we thought it would be appropriate to finally let you know about some people that work with us. And so we're going to have some of our staff on the next episode. And I'm really excited. Well, I'm not sure how excited I am, because you might hear the truth about how we really are.
You know what's great, though? You get to edit the podcast.
Oh, yeah, there's that. Oh, it's going to be really good. You'll get to hear from our employees talking to you as vacation rental owners about what's really important to them. And so we're excited about that. Won't tell you any more at this point, but I know you're going to enjoy the episode.
Absolutely. In the meantime, enjoy your summertime. We hope it's going great for you wherever you are. And please make a note on Facebook of any ideas you have for our podcast, any feedback you have, or any ideas you want to share with the rest of our audience. We'd love to share that with everyone. Also, if you would rate and review our podcast, it really helps to have lots of good reviews so more and more people can find our podcast around, because we're still making $0 off this podcast.
All right, Sarah, great job as usual. I think some people got some points to take away on this one, and all the best to Chris and the boys and you, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, good luck with your summer, Tim. Talk to you soon.
All right, so long, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Sarah and T, Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast, brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services. Together, Sarah and Tim manage more than 600 privately owned vacation rental properties, and both are regarded as experts in the vacation rental management industry. Music provided by Ben Sound. We encourage your participation on this podcast by sharing it with friends, and please feel free to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Comments or reviews on this particular podcast can be made on their website, sarahandt.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast, as well as provide them feedback on this episode or give them ideas for future topics. We look forward to speaking with you next time on Sarah and T.